The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and it's Stevie Nicol. We also welcome to the program Don Hutchinson joins us as we start by looking at the news that Manchester City are increasing their interest in Jack Grealish. And as a result, we thought we'd get Don to put together a starting 11 with Jack Grealish in it if indeed Man City get their man. And you take a look at this 11 and why isn't Grealish in it, Don?
Because it's just too good. The side and the squad is just too strong. I mean, I made a Rick Knopfler in a minute when I got the call to put Jack Grealish in the squad. But then I was going, it could be Cancelo for Zinchenko. It could be Fernandinho for Rodri. It could be Sterling on one
so
side.
So, Don, our producer called you up and he said, right, if Jack Grealish signs, just give us an idea how the starting 11 would look. And this is what you did.
Yeah, I know, mate. I was trying to go through a million players that they've got, and I forgot to put him in the 11.
Brilliant.
Hold on. Are you winding us up?
No.
You forgot to pick the man that was asked.
No, but he was sending me, Craig. He was sending me like a million texts, like, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I'm like, yeah.
Hold on a minute.
And I'm trying to do it.
Hold
and
on.
I'm trying to put the 11 together.
Listen, I'll ask you an easier question. Have you any breaking news for us today? What are you hearing about Varane?
Hey, we've landed on the moon.
Oh, thank you very much.
So you don't think Grealish will get in the team, or were you?
Of course
you just
I
been...
do.
Oh, you
of course
do.
I do.
You're just dumb.
Don't cave. Bernardo Silva never got on the team to start when he came.
So you're saying that you're going to spend 100 million on Grealish and you're not going to put him in there?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you. Bernardo Silva, who everybody wanted,
right,
when City signed him,
right, he wasn't 100
wasn't
million.
It wasn't in the team.
Yeah, but he wasn't 100 million. It wasn't England international. It wasn't that same sort of buzz.
Listen, if you're going to spend 100 million on somebody, then if I'm the coach, or if I'm certainly the boss of the coach, I'm asking questions if you don't play him.
Right.
All I said was Bernardo Silva signed, but he didn't get straight in the team.
Yeah,
and actually, I think I could be right.
Oh.
I don't believe Mahrez got straight in the team either. So
if he pitches up in pre-season, if this deal goes through quickly and doesn't play particularly well or is not fit or hasn't quite fitted in or isn't shutting down or playing with the tempo at the start that Guardiola wants, and I think that was a problem with Mahrez at the start. He was taking a gazillion touches every time, you know, wasn't closing down, wasn't sharp enough, didn't play. And I don't think the City manager will be too fussed about the price tag to start with.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's not without the realms of possibility if he does sign that he might not start the season because they've got plenty of options. Who knows? I still think they need an out-and-out striker.
Right.
I still think they need that player.
Ahead of Grealish?
Well, I like Grealish, but I still think they need... I get both, but I still think they need a striker, a natural striker. Will they get away with it during the year? Possibly.
And that's the thing, they can get away without Grealish.
Right.
But they can't get away with not having a proper centre-forward.
I suppose you could argue that they did it last year.
They did, and it's difficult to argue that it wasn't successful when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But can you sustain a whole season doing that? I'm not so sure.
Well, of course, as Craig said, we are joined by Mr. Breaking News. Don, what is the percentage chance that Harry Kane, that you said was a done deal to Manchester City, will be playing for City at the start of the season?
I still think he will be, but in all honesty, Dan, it has gone pretty quiet. I mean, I agree with the lads. I mean, I've no idea really why, if you're Pep, you would target Jack Grealish before Harry Kane. You know, you've got a squad there. I am saying they could do without Jack Grealish, even though he's that good. The standard of players that they've got is so good. Surely you would focus on getting the Harry Kane deal done.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would be a priority.
What if the producer sends you a message and says, how will the City team look with Harry Kane? Will you forget about him?
Gabriel
Jesus will still be there. For Kane, we're not hearing anything from him, are we?
No.
Which would suggest, now would be the time to make a noise if you're going to, you would suggest.
Well, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but
I just think it's his personality, isn't it? It's just the way he is. That
right.
He's probably making sure that everybody at Tottenham knows he still wants away.
Right.
He just chooses not to go in the papers every day. And maybe his agent's saying, right, you need to get in the papers. But Harry being Harry, I don't think he wants that. He doesn't want to leave in that type of manner.
I just think it'll be hugely disappointing if he doesn't go now.
Yeah.
I really do at his age. I mean, the platform's there. City are absolutely desperate for a guy, because Jesus is a guy who they use and, you know, send him out wide and put him on the bench and he'll get his quota of goals. But, you know, they're crying out for a guy who's going to guarantee them, like Sergio Aguero did for a decade, right? Crying out for it. And I would be just so disappointed if he was in his comfy shoes at Tottenham again. Because Tottenham are not going to be challenging for much, if anything, next year.
If you're playing against City, right, and Jack Grealish is in the City team, they've just signed him, you still think you can maybe beat them?
Right.
If you pitch it up and you look at the team sheet and Harry Kane is stuck right in the top of that, number nine, you're like, oh dear, oh dear.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's why they need to go and get Harry Kane.
But Daniel Levy, of course, a key figure in all of this, considering that Kane's still got 3 years left on that contract, Don.
Yeah, but don't forget, Harry Kane hasn't turned up for pre-season yet at Tottenham. He's still got that extended leave. So I think we'll hear more noises, Dan, once he comes back for pre-season. There has to be noises. There has to be questions from the journalists once he arrives back. And Nuno's going to have to explain the situation,
fine,
even though he's a little bit quiet. No fine. And he's going to have to explain the situation as well. So I think we'll hear more once Harry Kane arrives back at training. It's just gone quiet because it is what it is at the moment. He's not in the country. I don't know where he is, but in terms of training at Tottenham, he's not there yet.
How do you know he's not in the country?
Well, I said I don't know if he is. I said he's not at Tottenham yet.
Where's Harry now?
I said he's not at Tottenham yet.
Harry switched it off again, that fine. You've got to think that when he signed, you said about he's got 3 years left in his contract.
Yeah.
You've got to think that when his representatives negotiated this longer deal, this was protection for everybody. It was to say, look, we'll get a wage rise here, or a big, you know, big hefty salary. You're going to keep me for a period. I'm going to make sure I extend my contract so you can get top dollar, right? There's no talk about I'm going to see my contract out, you're going to lose me for nothing. So there has to have been a discussion here where he's protecting Tottenham's value of him by his contract. But that, you know, surely to God, they said, when push comes to shove, at this point, when I want to go, you know, we've signed this deal, so you have to make sure when you get the fee, you let me go now. I have to feel that when he signed that lengthy contract, this was part of the discussion, that Tottenham would get the fee because of that, and he would eventually get his move.
The thing is, that would be the right thing to happen if that was the conversation.
Mm.
But there's a guy called Messi, who's the biggest name on the planet, and he fell for that one.
Right.
Don't worry about it. You can go such and such, and then they turn round and completely backstab him.
Right.
So Harry Kane can't just think that Levy is just going to turn around and say, oh yeah, we had a gentleman's agreement, off you go. Because if it happens to Messi, it can happen to Kane.
Have Spurs done anything in the summer, Don, that would make you suggest that Harry Kane wants to stay with them because he sees the potential? Obviously, Nuno Espirito Santo has come
well
in.
Well done, Dave. Who,
as you,
not difficult.
as you mentioned. But apart from that, they haven't been particularly busy either.
No, not anything from the manager to the sporting director to the players that they've brought in. I don't see Harry Kane having that conversation with his agent and saying, right, we're going to go places this season. If they're going to go anywhere, it would have been last season probably under Jose. So he's been there an awful long time. And as the guys are saying, he's not going to fall for any waffle that I think Daniel Levy tries to give him to try and stay for the next season. I can't imagine if Daniel Levy said to him, can you stay one more season? Can you do one more? I think he's had his time there, Dan. I think he's done unbelievably well. And as the guys are saying, when he does move, if he does move on, he's going to leave on good terms. He's going to go down as a fan's favourite, he'll go down as a club legend. Rather than throwing his toys out the pram and trying to demand that move, I don't think he needs to. I don't think he's that type of character anyway. But from what I've seen, I don't see anything that's happened so far that entice him to stay on.
Spurs, meanwhile, of course, aren't in the title race whatsoever when we're talking about contenders. Chelsea are, given the way that they, of course, ended the season winning the Champions League. But you kind of forget sometimes they just scraped in to the top four, didn't they, under Thomas Tuchel. You take a look at their defensive record, which we discussed a lot during the season, how strong it was. It was getting goals and converting chances where they were struggling. Jorginho was their top scorer in the Premier League last season. Seven, all of them.
Were they all pins?
All of them were penalties. Yeah, every single one of them. And of course, now Chelsea are linked to Koundé. We spoke to him yesterday about the possibility of the Sevilla defender coming in for big money. And you think, Don, well, why? Why do you need to strengthen the defence that's already so strong, where surely you need to go out there and get a striker, and we've discussed this as well. Mm-hmm. Why spend money on someone like Koundé when you can add that to the kitty to go and get Erling Haaland?
Totally agree. The only thing I would say with Koundé, he's 22. He's an upgrade on Kurt Zouma. I think there's more scope for improvement when you look at Koundé to Kurt Zouma. Kurt Zouma, I think, is a good defender in his own right, but I think he's got one or two flaws in his game. He's only got 2 years left on his contract. That's why his fee's not ridiculous. I think Chelsea are in and around £20 million, I think, will let him go for it, if not a little bit more. But I think when you try and compare the two, I think Koundé's a better centre-half with more scope for development. But I agree with you. I don't think Chelsea can get anywhere near the league unless they buy a number nine.
Yep.
I think their squad is so good. From back to front, well, back to middle. Then you talk about all the number 10s that they've got. Exciting, terrific young players that are only going to get better. Hakim Ziyech hardly played any games last season, who's a brilliant player. But Haaland's the man that they need. Everyone needs him, but I think he's the man, I think, that can go into Chelsea now, this season, hit the ground running, and offer a title chance, offer something. I think without them, I think we'll be in a race for 3 or 4 months and then probably fade away.
Well, Ziyech was lightweight when he came in, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, we have talked. There's been some stupid talk in the last few days about Raphael Varane and, you know, can he play in the Premier League and all that nonsense, which is just utter drivel. But, you know, that was a classic case of coming in from Holland and being lightweight.
Yeah.
And I think it was Lampard briefed some journalists at the time and said they were concerned about it. They were concerned about his tendencies, of his injuries, his strength. But look, clearly, Chelsea have a big problem here. Giroud's gone to Milan.
Mm-hmm. Tammy Abraham's been shipped around to anybody.
Tammy Abraham's been hawked around to who's going to take him, and clearly Tuchel didn't fancy him anyway. And Werner was an unmitigating disaster, really. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He couldn't hit a Ballon d'Or half the time, falling over the ball and, you know, shifting him out to the left. He didn't give them a great deal from that area, apart from some good runs. When he did get in on the goal, and the final third, he looked as if he was very panicky. And so, I think Steve and I, most of the guys think Man City could probably get away with it again. It's a risk. Chelsea can't.
Yeah.
Chelsea don't have the players to do what Man City do and have done. So they absolutely, and I don't think it'll be Erling Haaland, because that's the big one, but they're going to have to go and find somebody to lead that line. No?
If they want to win the league, absolutely.
Mm.
It's not happening.
No.
But I will say, they're being smart going out and getting Koundé.
Right.
Because you just can't turn around and think that if we get Haaland and we put all our money into one guy, we'll just forget about the back line. The back line's been good, forget about it. You have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is, you've got two players who were a huge part of what they did last season, and Thiago Silva and Azpilicueta, who are on the wane.
Right.
And that is just the truth. That means you've got Kurt Zouma, who's a solid defender, and that's why you have to bring in Koundé. Because you're basically looking at Rudiger as being the mainstay.
Yeah.
Christensen, and all the time he's been there, you're never quite sure whether the managers think he's a starter. Because sometimes he's in, sometimes he's out. He gets injured quite a bit as well. So you have to take care of your back line. And there's no better example of that than Manchester City going out and getting Diaz last year.
It's the same lineup for Extra Time today. The boys staying late to answer your tweets. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
One of our pundits yesterday may have...
slandered.
Come on, name names. Name names.
One of our pundits who got a smart new haircut suggested that Eden Hazard maybe returned to training overweight and unfit. Obviously, you can see from the videos here.
I'm never going to believe anything I read or hear ever again.
We'll never be recorded, and I've told you to get rid of that several times.
Just listen to the radio, Stevie.
You can't be right all the time, Dan.
I know, but you can't be calling people fat when they're looking like that.
I never said he was fat. What's
overweight?
Not fat.
Let's welcome
in. You see, I'm fat.
Let's welcome. I'm not getting into it. Let's welcome in, shall we, from Barcelona. Gemma Soler is with us. Obviously, a huge season for Eden Hazard. So much pressure on him. That big price tag. He struggled since he arrived in Madrid with injuries. What are the hopes around him going into the start of the new season?
Hello, Dan. Well, this is always a question of controversy, the fitness of Eden Hazard and the size of his tummy. And obviously, it looks better this season, especially the first year when he was signed. That tummy was much bigger than now. And of course, his performance was disappointing. Actually, he was the last shining signing from Florentino Perez two seasons ago. He's starting his third season. His numbers are not good at all with only 5 goals. He played 41 games in La Liga, 43 actually. And So there are a lot of expectations, especially because of that. You know, in Spain, this summer, we've been talking all the time about Mbappé or Haaland. Which of both will sign Real Madrid? Well, none of them. Only this more fit Eden Hazard, Gareth Bale, which there are, of course, a lot of doubts about him. But, of course, with Ancelotti, new coach, new expectations, this new travel, Bale, Benzema, Hazard. We will see. We know he's an amazing player, but he definitely didn't show up that in Madrid.
Yeah, the problem you've got as well is the potential of having fans back at the Santiago Bernabeu. And we know what they're like. Yeah. They've whistled the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo in the past. They haven't got too much patience when it comes to this sort of attitude.
They won't be having patience, definitely, with Eden Hazard, because they come from a blank year. They didn't win anything last year. They are quite mad also with the president, with all what happens. So there won't be that much patience. It's true that the plan is to have a 20% of capacity at the very beginning. Now that is in discussion. We are not sure when fans are going to go back to the La Liga stadium. So maybe the international from Belgium, he could have a little bit of more patience or not having that pressure. Because, of course, if he's not performing well at the very beginning of La Liga, there will be shouts and fans annoyed at the Santiago.
And they need him, boys, because Benzema completely carried the can last year. And you need someone, you need Hazard to start paying some of that money back.
Well, in the face of it, it's a good PR exercise so far. look, I'm doing my best here to be the fittest I can for the start of the season. And, and, you know, maybe expecting a little bit of stick if the supporters coming back in because of the way he's played and because of his fitness and the headlines. But look, what do you want from him? To make a difference.
Yeah.
To make the difference he was at Chelsea, to change a game, you know, to do something that gets supporters off their seats if there is supporters in. And, you know, we'll find out if he can get himself back to that standard, but certainly Real Madrid need that.
How much you play on this if you're Ancelotti? Go out there and prove them wrong? Is that, do you need to tell someone of this ability, of what he's done in the past, that sort of thing? Or is it just leaving it down to him?
It depends on the character of the player.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, when you're coaching somebody, you figure out whether they need a kick out the backside or they need to put an arm around them. Now, if he needs an arm around them, then that's what you do.
What's he doing with your arm?
I'm putting my arm around Hazard. So if you need to put an arm around him, then you're encouraging him, and that's one way to encourage him.
Right.
But the truth is, for me, he just has to stay fit.
Right.
Because if he stays fit, there's not one of us questions what he's capable of doing on the football field. Yeah. And the key is to be fit. And unfortunately, he couldn't even finish the tournament with Belgium because he got injured again.
Yeah.
So that's the key. If he's fit, you'll get what you want. And if he's not, then those fans are waiting to get after him.
There's two ways to look at it under Ancelotti, isn't there? A former colleague, Ralf Honigstein, at the time said at Bayern Munich, he's laid back, lacks attitude, sort of easygoing, managerial style. Some of them took advantage of it.
Right.
You know, training was a bit lax. So there's two ways to do it. You just think, oh, he's not going to give me a kick up the backside, so I'm not bored. Or I really like this guy's man management style and he's giving me the freedom and I think I can play for him. And maybe we'll see the best of Eden Hazard that way, because if it's the latter, he's going to be in a whole lot of trouble again. Oh, sorry, the former.
Meanwhile, Gemma, we've spoken at length, haven't we, about Barcelona and their need to somehow sort out their wage bill. Suggestions are they may be getting one step closer to getting rid of Pjanic, who could be going back to Italy.
Yes, there were rumours before, but those exploded after Massimiliano Allegri press conference. He was like quite cryptic and say something that they have Cristiano Ronaldo, they have Paulo Dybala, and they could be having very soon a right-footed player who takes very good free kicks. And we think, of course, about Miralem Pjanic, that player that was another disaster operation of previous management of FC Barcelona. They changed it for a player 10 years younger, Arthur, for almost no money. It was only an operation used to balance the books, so another disaster. He only played 6 games, 0 goals. He's not important for Ronald Koeman, so of course they need to get rid of players, to get rid of big salaries, and this could be a move even more after listening to Italian new coach of Juventus.
Gemma, thank you very much. Just a reminder, as always, you can keep up to date with all the latest transfer news by going over to the website and checking out Transfer Talk. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it. We're done. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next, where Don reveals his cross-country abilities. Oh, it's very exciting. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig is here, as is Stevie and Don. Don, you said 10 months ago...
You said the age is catching up with
Messi and might not be relevant anymore. How the tables have turned. He's favourite to win the Ballon d'Or with the most goals and assists and free kicks in Europe in 2021.
Do you honestly believe I sent that tweet? Messi is not relevant anymore. That is something that I would never, ever say or tweet.
You said he was on the wane.
Well, maybe he was.
Right. Well, he clearly wasn't.
Was irrelevant. Well, I was wrong then, wasn't I? I was wrong, but you get to a certain age. You get to a... When you're at his level and when you are unbelievably good, probably the best that's ever played the game, there's going to be a point in your career where your numbers might dip slightly. Never said he was irrelevant. Never.
Bat it off, Don, lad. Bat it off.
With reports of Mourinho utilising drones to monitor the training of his players at Roma, did any of the guys' coaches ever use any weird tactics to monitor them in training? Gosh, Stevie, when you were at the Revs, did you get the drones up?
No. No. No.
Would you have done?
Yeah, probably I.
Really?
Well, yeah, because you could see how your back four's lining up with somebody separated.
You can
use it.
Imagine them again, him and Maris trying to get fire a drone.
Mariner with a joystick.
You'd be like, ah. No, you have a go. No, you have a go. No, no, you here. You on.
They'd be crashing left, right and centre.
Yeah. I mean, look, listen, absolutely you would. I mean, look at teams now. They have scaffolding by the side of the field so they can get the cameras on it, and then that's just what they're doing. They're looking at the shape, they're looking positional, I mean, everything. So, yes, if you had somebody that could work it, then yes.
Mariner.
Neither of you.
Paul's,
oh, my goodness.
Skill set was that.
It was like when both of you didn't know where the colon was on a keyboard.
Seriously.
Have you had any weird training experiences, Don? Anyone trying to do something strange?
No.
I suppose it's a generation.
Well, when Stevie said about the scaffold, that took me back to Coventry when Mickey Adams was there, and he had the scaffold up, and he was had a cameraman up there, sort of like videoing down on the 7v7s, 11v11s, so you get an idea, like Stevie said, about the shape. But I don't know if you need drones, do you? Do you need drones to do that?
Luddite. Right, for everyone.
Extracting those the yellow things behind these. It looks like he's got mufflers on.
What are you talking about?
Don't his ears.
What?
Two yellow things
in
his
that.
Ears.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's the caps.
Oh, it's a Scotland cap.
But when he gets when he gets his head in the middle, he's got two yellow ears. Yeah. There you go.
Somebody said he's got like bunches coming out.
It's like pigtails.
Yeah.
I'll move over here.
For everyone, have you ever played with someone who was very quiet in the dressing room?
Yes.
But then very loud on the pitch?
Well, I don't know about loud. But Mark Hughes, I've told you this before, Mark Hughes was one of the quietest guys in the dressing room that I've ever come across. Well, we were talking top players, right?
Yeah.
So one of the best strikers of his generation. But he turned into an absolute psychopath when he crossed it. And I said to him once, I said, what is it with you? He said, you want to fight the world? I said, you never said, all week you haven't said a dicky bud. I said, you haven't said a thing in the dressing room for an hour before the game. Now you're trying to fight the world.
Yeah.
He said, as soon as I cross the white line, lad, that's it. He said, I'm fighting centre-halves. They've kicked me. They've kicked me from behind for a decade. So I'm going for a fight.
Yeah.
Dressing room? Sit there, wouldn't be a wob.
Chris Coleman was saying the same, because obviously they played together for Wales, but when they played domestically with Fulham against United, I think it was.
Did he say the same thing?
He said, first minute, Hughes bang, right in his nose.
I went to a testimonial dinner for Bruce Garobola in Wales.
Right.
And Hughes was there. I don't think he said a word all night.
Really?
He just sat there all night, never spoke. Big Norman Whiteside was a bit the same. Big Norman was the nicest man off the field you could wish to meet. But when he got on the field, I mean, he just went like that, took the mask off, and this apparition appeared.
I told you the annihilating. I think I shall retell it, but the Keith Curl story. Keith Curl being former centre-half of a few clubs in England, Sheffield United, Wimbledon, Manchester City.
Yeah, it was at City,
when Man City were still playing at Main Road. And we were playing it against City at Main Road. And Mark Hughes had still had his house in Manchester from his time at Man United and was travelling to London, blah, blah, blah. So we were playing at Main Road and I turned round and I kid you not, Mark Hughes and Keith Curl were on the floor, and as I turned round, Mark Hughes just booted Keith Curl in the head, right, while the referee wasn't looking.
Right.
They were basically having a scrap, and Sparky just kicked him in the head. And after the game, we're in the showers in the bath, and I said to him, what are you doing tonight when we go back to London? And he said, I'm going out for a meal with Keith Curl and his wife. Because he's my neighbour. And I went, just seen you kick him in the head. He went, over the white line.
Wow.
He was going for a meal with him.
Wow.
Don, was there anyone you played with who was quiet off and then a crazy person on?
Yeah, I had Mark Hughes at Everton. He came to Everton for about 6 months when he was about 38, 39. And he came, and obviously, you know, as I said before, when you get to a certain age, you pass your best. And he was terrible on a Monday. Oh, the worst training on a Tuesday. Day off on a Wednesday. Awful on a Thursday. Little tippy-tappy five-a-side on a Friday. Man-possessed on a Saturday. Incredible. Duncan Ferguson was a little bit the same, where he was quite quiet. I wouldn't say Dunk was shy, but he wasn't as vocal as you would probably imagine. He was on the pitch, by the way. He wanted to fight the world and take everyone on and prove that he was the best. But Monday to Friday, he was quite quiet.
Remember the bib? You'll not know this. Usually, at most clubs, I would imagine, but after training, you used to have a vote for the worst trainer.
Right, okay.
So after every training session, you'd have a vote. Who was the worst trainer today?
Yeah.
And they used to get a bib, yellow bib or something.
Like the bib of doom.
And they had to put it on, and basically the boys took the watch it out of them.
Yeah.
We used to give it to Sparky before training. There you go, son. Yeah, put that on, lad, will you? But then he was, obviously...
Yeah, incredible.
When it really mattered, not on the training ground, on the pitch, he was... I hope he doesn't watch this.
Speaking of feisty players, Don, pick one. Roy Keane or Patrick Vieira?
What, in what sense, having a fight, player, all-round ability?
All I've got is pick one, Don. You can...
Keno, I would say, but not much in it. Not much in it. Both winners, both probably the best I've ever played against. Vieira definitely in that bracket. Stevie G in that bracket. But the two of them were just... The two of them were just animals, man. You stood in a tunnel and you thought, like, got to be on my game today.
Yeah.
Is there anything I've got in my locker that I can try and beat them out? I was a cross-country runner, so I could maybe try and run them around the pitch. That weren't going to happen with them two.
You're not an Olympian, are you?
Hold on a minute.
Hold on a second.
You're not an Olympian, are you? When were you a cross-country runner?
I mean, when was I a cross-country runner?
Well, at school, when you were, like, 12.
What? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, yeah.
Come on, Roy.
You don't remember me a pre-season, Stevie. You wouldn't remember me a pre-season because you were at the back and I was at the front.
It was a cross-country.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Well, were you there? I thought you were out in the field jumping fences.
No, I mean, Steve McManaman, we were a couple of hundred yards ahead of you lot. Yeah.
Is it harder to play in 100 degrees heat or in the cold, Don?
Ah, heat. Yeah. I was rubbish in the heat.
Right, how would that affect your cross-country times?
I would be last pick if you're picking anyone to play in the heat. I just felt drained. My legs were gone. I couldn't do 15K cross-country style. Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. Yeah. No good.
Heat the worst?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Washington. Worst place I ever played for humidity. In May.
Right.
1 year for Scotland in a preparation for the World Cup. We played the US. Oh, my God. As soon as I walked out, humidity down there, it was bad down there.
You couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
We actually had to carry a few of the guys with the revs when we played DC on a midweek game. When the final whistle went, I'm going to say 50% of our players and maybe 25% of their players were all lying on the ground on the back and just lay there.
Just gone.
Well, they were just completely gone. Oof. Must have taken us about 20 minutes to get everybody off the field because they couldn't get up. They just, you had to drag them and then, right. Like that. I mean, it was just ridiculous, the humidity.
Have any of you ever discouraged another player from joining a club based on a bad personal experience? Don, you've been to many clubs. Did anyone ever ask your advice about one and you gave it to them straight?
John Oster was going to sign for West Ham, who was my best mate at the time, and Alan Pardew was the manager, and me and Alan Pardew did not get on whatsoever. But I didn't discourage him from the move because it would have made him more money. He was playing for a bigger club, leaving Sunderland to West Ham. He went to meet Alan Pardew. I dropped him off at Alan's house. Oh. I didn't go in because we didn't get on. Then I picked him up an hour and a half later, had it a go. Not going to sign for him. Don't fancy him. Don't like him. Not signing.
Wow.
But I would never discourage anyone from making a move.
What'd you do when Oster was in these talks? He's going to do like, you know,
cross country,
20 mile or something. You know, just shake it off.
Yeah, but is he 20 miles to the coffee
shop. Why is he not your best mate anymore, Don?
No, he is, but he was at the time. We were really close at the time. We were at Everton together, and we both left Everton and went to Sunderland, so we spent a lot of time together. But he lives up in the northeast now, and I'm in London.
Don's got new mates, and most of them are in West Hartford.
He's got Frank, yes. He's got Jody Morris. Craig, do you ever get mad at your producers for having to talk about Ollie for what it is like 5 days in a row? Did you send this in for yourself?
Oh, yeah. Do you ever get mad at producers? Yes. Often.
What did you say? No, not what really. Did you say to me this morning?
We're on the
first fairway.
Right.
And he went, tell you what, this Ollie thing's getting a bit much.
Well, that must be.
But it's so quiet at the moment.
I did throw Jan's name in there as well.
Yeah,
Jan. No, but I think it's. I don't get as mad at the moment because it's understandable because there's not a lot else happening. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I really want to talk about the Gold Cup.
Okay.
I've been told I'm not allowed.
It's Qatar tonight, isn't it?
Oh, is it the Qatar US tonight?
Tonight, yeah, Thursday.
I'm not be watching.
Yeah. There we go.
What's the other game?
Mexico, Canada.
Mexico-Canada.
What are you looking up there for?
Well, I was using my brain. I had to look up.
Something on the ceiling for you.
And where is that game? Qatar US, do we know where that is? Someone's gonna tell you in your ear.
Austin.
Oh yeah, Austin.
Austin, and then the final is in Las Vegas.
Really?
And what about the other semi?
I think it's a double header, isn't it, in the same place?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Two double headers. Who doesn't want more of the Gold Cup?
There we go, right.
It's marvellous.
I don't know how we got onto this.
Well, that's a different subject.
Who's tactically better, Craig? Tomorrow. Who's tactically better, Oli, Gunnar Solskjaer or Mikel Arteta?
Who's tactically better?
Oh, you're right, Steve. What's wrong? Oh, that's quite the face.
I know, it just annoys me, all his tactics.
When a team plays 4-5-1 and defend for 90 minutes and get a goal in the breakaway, people see that sometimes as great tactics. It's the simplest thing you can do.
Yes,
exactly. Okay.
I would say...
A masterclass from Mourinho.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
What, sticking 10 men behind the ball?
We haven't said that for a while, to be fair.
Yeah, aye.
Don, what's the worst haircut you've ever had? Is it close to Stevie's?
Oh, I mean, Stevie's is a shocker. I mean, what did you ask for, Stevie? A 2 and a 3?
Yes. I did, yes.
I had a pre-season at Sunderland, and in the heat in pre-season, away for 3 or 4 weeks, I was just bored senseless. And Danny DiGio fancied himself as a little bit of a sort of barber. So I asked for the same short back and sides. He just went straight through the middle of a zero. Bang.
Nice.
Straight through the middle.
Gullible. Welcome once again, 2021 most gullible man in TV.
I wasn't bothered. It was the gas station again, isn't it?
Asking a player to cut your hair and he's not going to go through the
Dom, did you ever have bleached hair? I haven't seen a picture of you with bleached hair with Jamie Redknapp.
No, I've never done a bleach. I'll tell you what I had.
Oh, Don's your dad, but he's not that dad.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I had when I left Hartlepool to Liverpool, because it was the rage at the time. Oh. I had the tips. Do you remember the tips?
Yeah. So that's bleaching, isn't it?
The tips?
That's where you just get like the top of the... I had my tips done as well.
Yeah, I had the tips done. That was as far as I went with the bleach.
Did anybody ever... I did this. This is crazy.
Oh, right.
I remember back in the day when we were having the back, just the back of your hair permed.
No, Craig.
Oh, no. Yeah,
no. Like the Waddle thing.
Chrissy Waddle.
What, the mullet? Like a permed mullet?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get that done?
Yeah.
Oh, Craig, it's got to be a picture of you like that.
No.
Oh, that'd be amazing. How old were you? 33?
47. About 19, I think.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You would go in and voluntarily ask for a perm.
Well, that was the rage. Partly.
Oh, he was a father and a husband when he got his whole hair blonde. So he's more than capable of doing it later on. You know what I mean?
I know, but that's quite a statement.
Just to know what the difference is between a 2 and a 3 and a 2 and a 5.
What's that got to do with it?
For Don, I've seen you on the other show.
Wow. What other show?
With Ian and Kelly.
What other show?
Which crew do you like better, Ian Kelly or the ESPN FC crew?
What's the other show?
I don't know. Maybe with Kelly Cates and Ian Dark? I don't know.
But that Premier League one.
Oh, Premier probably. League? Do you do something with the Premier League with Kelly?
No. No, I think that is a load of tosh, I think.
Oh, dear.
I've seen you on the other show with Ian and Kelly.
Well, Ian Dark is only ESPN.
Right.
So I've not worked with Ian Dark on any other show. Kelly, a little bit with the Premier League, but not really.
What about, okay, so who do you prefer to work with, the Premier League channel or ESPN?
So ESPN tonight.
I bet you do.
He said he worked with all of them.
Yeah, Ian doesn't do the Premier League's studio. No.
Final question. Hypothetically, I'm taking Don, Stevie and Craig out for a drink at the bar. Can they predict what the others are drinking?
Yeah. Oh, pretend. No. Jesus, God. It's the easiest thing ever. I might have a bit of a choice. You might have a bit of a choice. Don might waver and go for some.
No. Budweiser.
Budweiser.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much. I think it's
easiest thing.
I think it's lager all round, isn't it, Don?
Well, yeah, unless you get a round of peach schnapps in like you did the last time I was over.
I think it was peach schnapps I got in. That was the shots at Division West, but we don't talk about that place.
Listen, you've never learned your lesson, have you?
I did learn my lesson
from that night. We were in the bar in West Ham.
No, I learned my lesson.
The manager said to our crew, "I'm sorry, I can't serve you any more drinks because of that obnoxious little man over there."
That's it. ESPN FC is back on your screens tomorrow. We're all off, I think, aren't we?
Yeah. Ollie going to Solskjaer, here
I'm
we go.
It's got Ollie tomorrow, is it?
A bit of Ollie.
Are you in tomorrow again?
Wow, Stevie, you're working hard.
Wow. What?
Thanks, Don.
Somebody's got it.
Cheers, guys.
See you, Don.